Whether you use it or not, you'll likely at least be aware of the recent flurry of speculation about Facebook's Messenger application. And you'll be aware because all sorts of accusations are being made. Some seem incredible. That the new version of this app can take over your phone and call people. That it gets unsolicited access to your calendar and all of your real-life contacts. That it can actually record what you're saying. That it can record your SMS and text messages. All sorts of fantastic accusations. And as I say, whether you use it or not, there is no doubting your kids or grandkids do. So what we wanted to do, because we received a number of questions on this on the program yesterday, is trying to separate the fact from the fiction and gauge whether this is just a whole load of media bluster or if there is a genuine security concern at play. And to work it all out, we've enlisted our IT security expert, Still Gary. And Still, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Will.
Is it much ado about nothing, or is there a genuine concern here?
Look, there's the main scare stories are a pile of rubbish, but it does raise an interesting point about all of the apps on your phone in terms of giving them permission to do what they do and about trust. So let me placate people's fears first.
Yes.
That, yes, you give permission to an app on your smartphone to do all sorts of things, and this is the Facebook Messenger app we're talking about, but so many other apps ask for similar sorts of permissions. Now, this is a Messenger app. You want to be able to send a photo to someone you're chatting with, so the app needs to be able to use the camera. It's as simple as that.
You have to
give the app permission to use the camera if you want it to take a photo. if you're chatting with someone and then they say, oh, give us a call, let's talk, it needs permission to look up your contacts, find their phone number, and make the call.
Right.
So that is, you know, Facebook's response. There's been, in some news stories, you know, a scary, oh, it could do this, it could do that. The difference is between what it could do and what it's actually doing. Now, and that then raises the problem, doesn't it?
Yes.
How do you know?
Yes. Well, I mean, is the reality simply that if we got hung up on all the possibilities and potential ramifications of all these sorts of things on the internet, we probably wouldn't use it at all?
Sure. You know, I mean, you do actually have to trust someone at some point.
Yeah, now, that's right.
You know, Facebook is a company that's got 1.2 billion users or whatever it is. If that means there are an awful lot of internet security people taking a close look at what it does.
Mm.
You know, you're far more likely to run into problems with some startup app, some latest fad that hasn't really been checked out by anyone yet, that may have even been written by someone who doesn't quite understand what they're doing, or they may be straight up malicious.
Mm.
You know, there are criminals out on the internet, just as like there are criminals everywhere in society.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the world is on the internet in all of its good and bad.
What would you say to people, Still Gary, and that are listening to this, that are aware that perhaps their kids or grandkids, or maybe they themselves have the app, they've got the update, and they've heard all these horror stories? Is there something physically to tweak with regard to security settings, or should they just, at some point, as you say, just trust that these permissions aren't going to be abused?
Yeah, look, that's the problem. With the way that the permissions are structured on smartphone apps, you do actually have to trust the app to do what the creators say it's going to do and no more. Now, that said, in the case of iPhone apps, it's Apple. In the case of Android apps, it's Google. Mm. And Windows Phone, it's Microsoft. They do have some procedures for looking at the apps, kind of doing some automated testing and going, you know, does this look like it's doing anything suspicious?
Yeah.
And obviously, as I say, with such a big and important thing as a Facebook app, they're going to take extra care looking at that. So, you know, there are people trying to make sure it does the right thing. Android does have a problem compared to Apple's operating system, though, in that Android, the app will ask for permissions. It says, I want permission to do this, 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 and this. And you just have to say yes to the lot, or not use the app. Whereas on Apple's operating system, let's say it's a chat application, and you can say, okay, I'd like, it'll ask as it tries to use each thing. It says, okay, this is the first time I'm trying to use the camera. Can I use the camera now? You say yes or no, but that's just for the camera. Later up, it might say, oh, you know, you've arranged to meet someone. can I have your location? And you say, or perhaps you'll say no to that. It's okay to send a picture, but I don't want to send my location, or whatever it might be. And even that, though, it's kind of backwards in a way. The thing is, you'd like perhaps to send one photo, but you don't want it looking to see what other photos might be in your little collection. You're happy for it to look up one specific phone number in your contact list, but you don't want to do what the app Snapchat did and had that permission, and then without asking, grabbed the whole contents of your address book and uploaded it to their servers for them to find out who all your friends were.
That's right.
The Federal Communications Commission in the United States, the regulator there, came down on them pretty hard for doing that.
Which is, again, you need to have some trust in those sort of structures in place that try and prevent or at least censure that sort of behaviour, don't you?
That's right. But, you know, we trust everyone in society every day. When we get a prescription filled at the pharmacy, we trust the pharmacist to give us the right drug and not poison us.
That's right.
There could be rogue pharmacists. We hear stories.
There's no third party assurance, is there? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there are things go wrong in hospitals sometimes with bad people, and when it happens, it's shock horror, and everyone has a closer look at their procedures.
Is that because, to some degree, and maybe the media is a large contributor to this, that the internet and that cyberspace is still treated as some sort of mystical force, and a lot of the concerns over security are. At best, they seem to be reported on an arbitrary basis, and at worst, they seem to just totally miss the point.
Well, I think you've nailed it there, Will, because it is such a new environment for most people, and it is complicated. To explain any of this stuff, you have to use so many new words in every conversation that most people kind of zone out a bit at that point and go, I don't really get it. All the message they're left with is some fuzzy... Oh, the internet is a bad and dangerous place.
So
there's that. There's the fact that the media will concentrate on shock horror stuff. I mean, so a news story that today in Adelaide, 300,000 people went safely to their workplaces and everything went according to plan. I mean, you're not going to run that as your headline news, are you? But that's what happens most days.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Most of the time things do work. Most of the time people are trying to do the right thing. In this case, no, the whole, it's a Facebook scare story. No, I mean, it sounds great, but there's nothing particularly to worry about in this one. No, I think it's more a matter of just for people to be aware. Look, if your kids do have a smartphone, it does have a camera in it. They can send photos. You know, they could have done that if they had a Polaroid camera in the old days. So it's all a matter of getting into a conversation with your kids about, you know, what is and isn't a good thing to do. And there are resources online to help. The government's Stay Smart Online kind of program has the basics. If kids are sort of school age, then schools have access to material. And, all right, not every teacher is going to be across it, but they do try.
Yeah. Stu, we always appreciate you clearing up these matters for us. Before
you do go,
a question without notice. I know you're an ex-South Australian that went out into the great, wonderful beyond. Thinking back to your old hometown, the Festival Plaza has been up for debate over the course of the afternoon.
Yes, windswept concrete. What the hell?
Coloured
do we do
blocks.
With it,
exactly right. Well, I mean, it's people want to consider it as something of a cultural hub, that part of town now, with, you know, the Adelaide Oval there and using that space for the Fringe and the Adelaide Festival and these things. Thinking back to Adelaide, have you got a view how it might best be utilised?
Yeah, look, it's right at the back of Parliament House, isn't it?
Yes.
So I think, you know, you have petting zoos where kids can go and play with baby lambs and you know, calves and things like that. I reckon you build a kind of cage arrangement, and each afternoon at about 4 o'clock, you herd the politicians out in this cage for us to poke at them with sticks.
Oh, that's a nice idea. Right.
And, you know, if they've passed a good law or made a good thing, we can...
You get them a bag of feed.
That's That's right. A nice hessian sack full of oats for them or something like that. And if they've been bad, well, you know, it's the old rotten tomatoes and poking with sticks kind of thing. And I think, you know, they should do that every afternoon at 4 o'clock for 15 minutes.
I like it. Good on you, Still Gary. Thanks for your...
Cheers, Will.
Appreciate it. It's the commentator, Still Gary. Hey, who's actually found something of a kindred spirit in a text we got from someone on best use of the space. Someone suggested a huge medieval catapult pointing due west, surrounded by Colosseum-style seating where the masses can gather to celebrate each outgoing Polly.